between who is in and who is out in this kingdom, and quite surprisingly sometimes, based entirely on are they willing to recognise the true rule of the king. Willing to recognise the true rule of the king, and whoever you are, you're in. Not willing to do that, wanting to change and fit into your mould, Jesus says, right now you're out. And then last week, if you were here, you remember after all the excitement of the baptisms, we were in the parable of the sower. And we saw the means by which the kingdom grows. We saw that the kingdom grows as people respond to the proclamation of the word of God. As people respond to the word being proclaimed, the kingdom grows. And we saw, didn't we, as the seed in that parable, as the seed is sown, well, that's like that represents the word of God. And the call is, as the seed is sown, to be those who listen. And be those who keep on listening and accept what you hear as the true, life-giving, powerful word of God. And then we get this image in verse 21, which we touched on briefly last week, and we're just going to touch on briefly again now, this image of the lamp being poured out and put onto a stand. And this is an image that encourages us to be expectant listeners. So I think we come to this, and perhaps we know Matthew's Gospel. Actually, we saw this a few weeks ago in Matthew's Gospel, where there's a very similar story, and the story is all about let your light shine. Don't put the lamp under the bowl. And it's all about actually speaking up and living for Jesus in the world. But I think here, Jesus is using a similar image, but a different way. His point here is, no, actually, God's word is not intended. God's word, his purposes, his plans is not intended to be kept hidden. We're encouraged here to be those who open our Bibles, listen in sermons, engage in home groups, or wherever it is where God's word is open. We're encouraged to be people who do that expecting to hear God's voice, because it's not intended to be kept hidden. And then we get that second image of the measure coming with a big measure. And I think that encourages us to be active listeners. Now, the image is of the marketplace, or maybe one of those plastic-free shops that you can go to now, right down on St. Leonard Street. And how big a tub you take with you. If you only take a little tub to the marketplace, you're only going to come home with a little bit of whatever it is you're trying to get, rice. But actually, if you go with a big tub, then you're going to come home with a lot, aren't you? And I think that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, lap up what you hear. Seek out more. Allow it to go to work in your lives, on your beliefs and your values and your lifestyle. The better we listen, the bigger the transformation. So you see, he's told us in lots of different parables, the kingdom grows as the word is proclaimed and as it is received by individuals who are persistent in their listening, who are expectant in their listening, who are active in their listening. But then there is a risk, I think, of reading the parable of the sower then in a way that puts all the responsibility for kingdom growth on us. You know, so we've just seen, haven't we? Your response really matters. Make sure you listen in these ways, expectantly, actively, persistently, if you want to bear fruit. Also, we might come to the parable so, if we come to it with any kind of evangelistic heart, you know, longing for other people to be saved and for the kingdom to grow, well, how do we read the parable of the sower? We put ourselves in the shoes of the farmer, don't we? Who went and sowed his seed. You know, I think that's definitely what the disciples would have started thinking as they sat there listening to Jesus tell that parable. Jesus has just appointed them to be people who go out and proclaim his word, proclaim the kingdom. Okay, that's what he's just done. So they're sitting there, like, okay, now Jesus is telling us a parable all about sowing seeds. They start to think about how they can be effective sowers. And there is some value in that, although I think the principal basis is just scatter it wide. There is some variant there, but actually, look where Jesus takes the conversation next. Just as we perhaps start to kind of settle into that role, okay, so we're Christians, we're followers of Jesus, we get to be involved in the growth of the kingdom, so we're the farmer sowing the seeds, verses 26 to 28, the farmer's role is put into context. He said to them, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear.
Do you see, the farmer's role is put into context. He just throws a bit of seed on the ground. Now, obviously, when we just pray to farmers, which is wonderful, and this is not criticizing, saying farmers do nothing at all. But actually, the point here is, actually, the seed grows just as much when the farmer is asleep in bed as when he's out in the field laboring hard. And that line, that the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how, it makes me think of one particular farmer who appeared on our TV screens recently, Jeremy Clarkson. Did you watch that program? It was amazing lockdown viewing. Clarkson's farm. Okay, so there is Jeremy Clarkson, retired from cars, and now he's got a farm in the Cotswolds. And he was willing to give it a go. He was willing to try and farm this land. But he didn't know anything about the theory or the practice of farming and what you were supposed to do or how it worked. And yet the amazing thing is, things still grew on his farm. Or so with this parable. Yeah, it points us to the most important principle, that the kingdom grows as the Holy Spirit works powerfully through the word of God and in people's hearts. God is the one who provides all the conditions and the elements that are needed for growth. He's the one who brings about the harvest. And actually, much of the inner workings and mechanisms of how that works, how is it people come to faith? How is it that people's lives are transformed and turned around? How is it that we are equipped to grow in faithfulness to Christ, grow in godliness, turn our backs on sin? Actually, how that works is not really understood by us, is it? But we see it happening all over the place. And one of the people who really got this was Martin Luther, who was the 16th century monk, whose gospel preaching actually played a huge part in kicking off the Protestant Reformation in Europe. But listen to his testimony about how that happened, where he points away from himself to God. He says, "We should preach the word, but the results must be left solely to God's good pleasure. I opposed indulgences and all the papists, but never with force. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything." The primary way in which God's kingdom has and is and will continue to grow is through his unceasing work. Often unseen, unnoticed, ununderstood exactly how it works, but heading unstoppably to that final day when the final harvest will be gathered in. Isn't that encouraging for all of us as Christians? You know, yes, seek to keep listening persistently, expectantly, actively. But also trust God that he is the one who works in us to bring growth, to bring change, to transform us. Yes, seek to share the gospel with others. Be disciple-making disciples. But don't forget that actually we are just one means that God sometimes chooses to use to achieve his purposes. Now, he's the one who is more committed than any of us to growing his kingdom, person by person by person, until the full number of people are ready to be gathered in. We do our bit, but we need to remember we're not God. He's the real brains and the brawn behind his kingdom growth. But actually, if even Jeremy Clarkson can end up with a field full of wheat, then that is an encouragement, isn't it, for our weak, bumbling efforts as well. You know, I think the best advice I ever heard about Christian parenting, and I'm willing to take any advice you've got on that, but the best advice I ever heard was, don't keep on digging up the roots. By which the person meant, very helpfully, you know, that tendency to want to know exactly where your kids are at, the precise state of their hearts, you know, how much their trust in God is really genuine. But actually, I know this from being a kid with Christian parents. Digging up the roots all the time can be irritating. And it's not going to take away your anxieties as a parent. You see, we're not called to try and micromanage it. We're to sow the word, pray, trust God, let the unseen things play out with him in charge over the medium to long term. I guess we might share very similar advice for, you know, someone who's got this, a friend who's interested in investigating Jesus and it seems to be moving along that path. Don't keep digging up the roots and want to know exactly where they're at. Have they got to that point yet? Just keep on sowing the word and trusting God to do the unseen work. Well, one more kingdom parable for us to think about in this little collection. These last verses, verse 30 onwards. And we need to notice actually that here, there is a shift in the imagery. So it's still to do with seeds and plants, but now the seed represents the kingdom of God itself. Do you see that? If you've got it open in front of you. So previously the seed was the word that grows the kingdom. Now in this last parable, the seed is the kingdom itself. Let me read it for us. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." You see, the seed is the kingdom of God, and the principle is clear. Just like a mustard seed, the kingdom of God, it started really small, but it will end up really big. I remember actually being in a Bible study evening where someone, we were going through Mark's Gospel and we got to this bit and someone decided that they were going to take us back to the school classroom and they gave us all a mustard seed to take away. I don't know if it was, maybe it was another seed, I don't know what seed it was. They gave us a seed to take away, like a seed growing competition. And we were all told to come back next week with what had happened. But actually it descended into controversy because when we all came back next week, it was obvious that the clear winner by quite a margin was the resident Kew Gardens botanist. And we all called unfair play on that. But that's the point, isn't it? Actually, seeds grow, and we know that. And we can watch it, and we can see little seed, and it grows. And maybe if Jesus was given the illustration today, he'd talk about sunflowers. There, as you plant that little seed, pop it in the ground, give it a little bit of time, and suddenly you've got this amazing, tall, beautiful plant. Kingdom of God, it started really small, but it will end up really big. Wonderfully simple. So you see, when Jesus says, "When you think about my kingdom, don't despise small beginnings or small middle, if that's how you perceive it. Be confident that more is yet to come." So there's Jesus and his 12 disciples and the other people who are hanging out with him. And I guess some of it was exciting, wasn't it? There were miracles, there's this amazing authoritative teaching from Jesus. But actually, the whole thing would have still felt quite small and weak, especially compared to the established religious institutions or the ruling Roman overlords. Well, fast forward 30 years from that, and it probably felt even weaker. You know, Jesus was no longer physically with them. There were no more mass healings on the scale of what had happened in somewhere like Capernaum. Jesus' followers were to be found in often small, often persecuted house churches. Well, what a truth this must have been for them to cling to. What feels small and weak in the present? Do we remember what Jesus told us about that? Jesus said, one day it will be anything but. There's actually a particular encouragement if we pay attention to the tree that has got birds perching in the shade of its branches. Because that is, I think, an allusion to the Old Testament, particularly the book of Daniel, and also maybe the book of Ezekiel, but I don't know Ezekiel very well, so we're going to go to Daniel. But in Daniel chapter 4, you know, you've got King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's this great, big, powerful king, ruling over this great, big, powerful empire, and he has this dream about a big tree that has got birds living in its branches. And he doesn't know what the dream means, and so he goes and gets Daniel to come and to explain it to him. And this is what Daniel says in chapter 4. He says, "The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your Majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. So here, Jesus is intentionally picking up on a tried and tested Bible image for the great kingdoms of the world. A tree that's so big even the birds come and nest in it. And yet he applies a twist to it here, because each of those great kingdoms talked about in the Old Testament in that way, they all rise and then they fall. So actually that very dream in Daniel chapter 4, it doesn't end there with this great tree. This tree that represents Nebuchadnezzar and his empire, it is cut down and it is left as a stump in the ground. All the great empires, kingdoms of the world, they rise and then they fall. And in comparison to them, as history plays out, God's kingdom, it looks weak, doesn't it? Vulnerable, often under their power, at their hands. And yet, what a wonderful reversal of the image. Those kingdoms rise and fall. God's kingdom just keeps growing. Keeps growing. And what's the end game? Not that it's chopped down, but that harvest comes. It will look stronger in some places than others at different times, but it keeps growing. And the end of time, God's kingdom will be the only one left, proudly having offered shelter and a home for all of those who are willing to come and take shade under it and in its branches. You know, what a truth for the early church to cling to amidst religious persecution and Roman occupation. That the church is insignificant in geopolitical terms. On the last day, it will be Jesus and not Caesar who reigns eternally. And what a truth for us to cling to. In a society where the church seems to be more and more sidelined, where great revival is not happening in our country as far as I can see, where the kingdom often appears to be weak and under attack, we can take great hope too from the mustard seed promise. One day, the kingdom will be seen to be bigger and better and more permanent than any other. Arrogant leaders will be toppled. Mighty men will be humbled. Jesus will be seen to be Lord of all. And people are constantly trying to sell a vision of a bigger and better future, aren't they? Right now, obviously, you know, the Conservative Party leadership contest is just the latest version of that. When I become PM, here are the things that will improve. It's understandable we're sceptical, not just about the Tories. We're sceptical when anyone comes on that platform and says, here's what I'm going to improve. But Jesus says when it comes to his kingdom, the future is always brighter. It's okay that we're not actually experiencing the full glory of the kingdom right now, because that day will come. God's at work growing his church. I picture that last day, harvest time, when Jesus' kingdom is fully revealed. Gathered a great multitude of people that no one can number, from every nation, from all the tribes and the peoples and the languages. And actually, when you think about it through that way, we are already well on the way towards that, aren't we? You know, he started with 12 people. The number of Christians worldwide today in numbers in the hundreds of millions. God's kingdom is growing. And Jesus, he wants us, therefore, to have that confidence. That whatever our particular circumstances or culture that we live in, his kingdom is one that is growing and will last forever. And I think actually, and this is where we finish, I think there is a wonderful cycle here. Because what are we going to do when we're confident about that? We're confident actually his kingdom is the one worth backing and being part of because it's going to keep growing. What are we going to do when we're confident of that? Well, we're going to be spurred on to keep listening, aren't we? To listen persistently. Expectantly, actively. And what happens when individuals listen like that? Well, the kingdom keeps on growing. Do you see? It's a wonderful positive cycle. Be confident the kingdom is going to grow and keep going. Okay, keep listening. When you listen, what happens? The kingdom keeps growing. So let's be confident in what God is doing. And let's keep listening so we remain secure as members of this extraordinary kingdom. I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us these last 2 weeks, for these parables that Jesus is teaching. And we pray that we would be those who listen and listen well and keep listening. I pray we would do that confident that you are the one who grows your kingdom. It's amazing that you use us in that, but you don't need to. You are the one who grows your kingdom, and we praise you for that. And praise you that we get to be part of this kingdom that one day will be seen to be the kingdom that endures, the kingdom that is absolutely the one worth being part of. So help us this week to keep coming with a big measure. Amen.